complete in his renunciation. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. But sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs Prapanchikataya Buddhya Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The Vedas therefore enjoin. Somewhere here I have a larger print version of that. Om iti satyam netyan ritam tare tat pushpam palang vacho yat satyam saheshvaro yashasvi kalyana kirtir bhavita pushpam hi palang vacha vachaha satyam vadatya ataitan mulam vacho yaran ritam yad yata vriksha avir mula sushyati sa udvartata evam evan ritam vadan avir mulam Atmanam karoti sa sushyati sa udvartate tasmad anritam navadeddayita tvetena. The purport. You're not going to ask me for the word for word on that, right? The purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the absolute truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for. Because the body is temporary, not permanent, one cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnanam Jana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate gadim jatkripa kamaham vande shri gurum dinataram. Namahum vishnupadaya krishna preshtaya bhutale srimate bhaktivedanta swamini tinamane namaste sarasati deve gauravani pracharini nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarini ancha kalpa turubhyastra kripa sindhobhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Tadyata vriksha unmula sushyati udvartate chirat evang nashtan mitasadya atma sushyeng nasangshayah. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. So, these are kind of interesting verses and purports, especially verses and purports together. We know the context. Shukracharya is witnessing Bali Maharaj and Bali Maharaj's reception of the small Brahmana Vamanadeva. Bali Maharaj, although a demon, comes from a good roots, but and so he's naturally inclined to give in charity. So he's offered Vamanadeva anything, whatever you like. And as we heard previously, Vamanadeva said, "Nah, that's okay." And Bali Maharaj pressed him. He says, "Look, you're a Brahmin. I'm a king. Just ask for something in charity. Your duty is to accept charity, mine's to give." So Vamanadeva says, "Okay, 3 paces of land." And he's a little guy. "Okay, 3 paces of land." But Bali Maharaj, not so impressed by it. He says to him, "It's not a very sophisticated request. I think you may be a little inexperienced, a little naive. Look, here's the deal. I could give you a planet." So this is not a very bright request to make. And Vamanadeva says, "Look, here's the thing. No matter what you get, it's never enough. I mean, you could give me the whole universe and I'd want another. So it just doesn't, you know, all I need is a place to lie down. 3 paces of land will do the job. Meantime, Shukracharya is witnessing the whole thing, and he's thinking, because he sees the splendor, the charitra, the character of Vamanadeva, and he realizes, oh my gosh, this is a trick. This is indeed Vishnu. He's here on behalf of the demigods. He's come as a brahmana, perfect. That means Bali's going to end up losing everything. So here he is, he's trying to talk Bali out of it. This isn't honest. Sure, it's intelligent what he's saying, but his motive's not honest, right? As Dina Sharna pointed out yesterday, he's got his eye on his paycheck here. Dakshina. Ooh, if Bali doesn't have any, he doesn't have anything in the bank, then, you know, where's the dakshina going to come from? How am I going to be able to maintain my scene? So this is dishonestly motivated advice, as good as it is. However, Srila Prabhupada takes it, as one of our godbrothers would say, straight, and presents it in that way. So he cites Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that if we reject things without knowledge of their utility in relationship with Krishna, that's false renunciation. So Srila Prabhupada advises in his purport, we have to take care of our bodies. Krishna advises us in Bhagavad Gita, yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapna avabodhasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. Yoga is about getting rid of misery, ultimately. And so Krishna gives this piece of advice for the yogic lifestyle. Yukta ahara, regulated eating. Yukta viharasya, regulated recreation. Yukta cheshtasya, regulated work for your maintenance. Yukta swapna avabodhasya, regulated sleep and wakefulness. Do what's appropriate for your body. That's Krishna's advice to Arjuna. He wants him to, he's telling him how to be a yogi. And we see at the end of the 6th chapter, he says, be a yogi. Especially a yogi who's focused on me, best of all human beings. So, what does that mean? Be a yogi. Yukta hara viharasa, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. So, whatever we need in the way of sleep, food, recreation even, Krishna says, viharasya, yukta viharasya, yukta ahara viharasya. Regulated eating, regulated recreation. So we need to be a little intelligent. Back in the day, those of us a little long in the tooth can remember, we would see this verse and we would just kind of like slide over this one word, viharasya. Recreation? There's no time for recreation. We went out, we'd get up in the morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Most of us take a cold shower, because that's often what there was. Go to Mangalarti, chant japa. Some people would be fixing breakfast, making offerings, dressing in deities, have prasadam. Have class, have prasadam, go out on sankirtan. And we'd be out on sankirtan until lunchtime. Sometimes in where I was in Honolulu in 1970, maybe in 71, I think it was, we would stay out on sankirtan for lunch. Someone would make a pot of dal, a pot of rice, a few stacks of chapatis, and he'd bring them down to the, and some vegetables if we could afford it. Vegetables we, at that time, 1970, we would get them from the dumpster behind the Manoa Valley Safeway. That's what we could afford in the way of vegetables for daily use. So, and we would have our, and we would share it with whoever, you know, we'd sit down in the park, keep the kirtan going, have prasadam, share it with whoever came, and then crank the kirtan back up. A little later, sometime in 71, we would go out door to door in the afternoon. I think we would go out and have kirtan in the streets in the morning and go door to door in the afternoons, different parts of the island. Come back, take a shower, go to class, have a little prasadam maybe. Take a shower, go to class, more kirtan. 10 o'clock, fall down on the floor. Next morning, get up, 3:30, 4 o'clock, do the same thing again. Sometimes we would get crazy ideas about fasting. One time, we heard that Prabhupada had advised one of our godbrothers, this is at 71, I remember this clearly, advised one of our godbrothers who complained that he was having trouble with sexual urges. He said, eat half as much and sleep less. Eat half as much as you need and sleep less. And my friend Tarun Kanti and I, here is the key. We will become saints. So we started eating half as much prasadam as we were accustomed to and sleeping about 4 hours a day. Of course, we'd already tried that, I think, when the first volume of Krishna book came out at the end of the summer of 1970. Gaur Sundar, our temple president, had made an offer. Anybody who can go 2 weeks on 4 hours sleep gets a Krishna book when they come. So we all tried that. Tarun Kanti, I think, was the only one who made the whole 2 weeks, and then he collapsed and was kind of useless for about 3 weeks. But we thought, all right, this is the key. We will become real brahmacharis. We're going to become saints. And we were already skinny. I was maybe 118, 119 pounds. And we started losing weight. You stop eating, your body starts creating arachidonic acid from the fat in your body, and that gets you, slows things down, if you get my drift. And we started getting a little crazy because we weren't eating and we weren't sleeping. And we really thought we were becoming saints. And finally, Gaur Sundar and Govinda Dasi looked at us and said, "Look, you guys are nuts. You've got to start eating and you've got to start getting some sleep. You're going to drive the rest of us crazy. You're already crazy and you're going to drive the rest of us crazy." So we had to slow down a little bit, mellow out. Of course, Gaur Sundar also had a program where he would take the brahmacharis body surfing every once in a while. So we would actually take a break from the routine, usually in the afternoon, and go to some place like Sandy Beach or Makapuru and go body surfing. So there was a little intelligence starting to creep in there. But this is the case. This body was given to us by Krishna. It's meant for his service, and we need to. Take care of it. And we see a couple of places and incidents in Chaitanya Charitamrita that help us understand that. One is, well, they both happened after Srila Sanatana Goswami came alone from Mathura to Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And along the way in the Jarikanda forest, he picked up some nasty infection from polluted water. And so by the time he got to Puri, he had these oozing, pussy sores all over his body. And he was kind of creeped out by it. You know, he already was extremely humble, but he thought, oh, this is really awful. My body's just become completely useless. So I think what I'll do is during the Rath Yatra, right there in front of Lord Chaitanya, I'll just throw myself under the cart and commit suicide, give up this useless body. So he got to Puri. He found Haridas Thakur's place. He was staying there, and the Lord came, and Haridas offered obeisances. Lord Chaitanya gave him a big hug, and then Sanatan started thinking, oh no. Lord Chaitanya, I mean, even when I was dressed like a dirty dervish, the Lord wanted to embrace me. He's so merciful. He's going to embrace me again, and I've got this, I'm just gross. And so Lord Chaitanya saw Sanatan, and he says, oh, what a nice surprise. And he went over to embrace Sanatan, and Sanatan, no, no, you can't. He says, look, this is not a problem for me. You know, everything about you is just nectarian. And then, so they spent some time together. Lord Chaitanya would bring prasadam from the temple to Haridas and Sanatan every day, and they would talk. And then one day, the Lord looked at Sanatan and he said, listen, here's the thing. If I could attain Krishna prema by committing suicide, I'd have millions of bodies and commit suicide millions of times. But that's not how you get Krishna. So your plan is not very good. Moreover, and here's the point, that's not your body anymore. You surrendered to me. I have things I want to accomplish through that body. You don't have a right to give up your life. You don't have a right to give up your body, is the exact language you use. Give up your body, deha tyaga. You don't have a right to give that body up because it's not your property. You gave it to me. And I've got things I want to do with it, so there. And then a little later, during one of their talks, Haridas and Sanatan were kind of, not exactly griping a little bit, but they were thinking, listen, Lord Chaitanya is always blasting Jagadananda Pandit. But he never blasts us. He always says nice things about us, especially in front of everybody else. So they asked him, what's the deal? You have so much mercy for Jagadananda and none for us. You never give us the sauce. You're just always praising us, and it's really embarrassing. So he said, well, look, my relationship with Jagadananda is a little different from my relationship with you. Here's the thing. I see you as my boys. There isn't anything you can do that's wrong. The father doesn't, you know, father loves his son. He doesn't get all upset if the son does all, you know, all kinds of weird things. Sometimes it's just cute. But the mother doesn't get upset because the kid, you know, passes his urine and stool. She sees him as sandalwood paste. Besides, you're so exalted, you're so steeped in love for Krishna that everything about you is auspicious. And then he said, Diksha kale bhakta kori atma samarpan, sei kale Krishna tari kori atma sam. Kori atma sam. Diksha kale, when at the time of initiation, when the devotee begins, engages in the process of surrendering himself to Krishna, Krishna accepts him, how? Atmasam, as good as himself. And he says, that body, he calls it a chidananamai, that body that's engaged in Krishna's service, Lord Chaitanya calls it chidananamai. It's full of transcendental bliss. It's a spiritual body. Krishna accepts it as being as good as himself. So it's a spiritual body. So the lesson Srila Prabhupada wants us to take away from this purport is those of us, especially those of us who are disciples or who have some aspiration for surrender, we should understand these bodies aren't ours anymore. We don't have any right to neglect them. I was just suffering results of neglect just now, having a hard time reading these in. My prescription's a few years old. I've got to take care of it. And so many of us, we see, because of the neglect, the bhoga tyaga, right? That was our thing, you know, this pendulum, bhoga tyaga thing when we were young. We're always talking about it, always deriding everybody else for it, and always indulging in it ourselves. Sunday feast, how many plates can you eat? Gulab Jamun contests, for crying out loud. Gulab Jamun eating contests. Craziness. And then all of a sudden we, oh no, I'm just immersed in sense gratification. I'm just an animal walking around stuffing things in one end and shooting it out the other. It's hard. Oh man, stop eating. I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to, you know, chant and go out on some kirtan and burn my body out and throw it in the gutter. We don't have a right to do any of these things anymore. I mean, it doesn't make any more sense to do that than it does to not change the spark plugs, not change the oil in our car. You have a car, you know, every 3,000 miles or 3 months, whichever comes sooner, you better change your oil and your filter. Every however many thousand miles, change your spark plugs, otherwise you get a lousy mileage. Spark plugs don't fire right. So many things that we have to take care of with regard to our car. Otherwise, the car is not going to do what it's meant to do, which is to get us from here to there and back. And especially if the car is engaged, you know, meant for, you know, used in Krishna's service. I think that's a Chevy Tracker? No, it's a Chidananda my truck. Chidananda's SUV wannabe. So, I mean, this is actually the case. This is what Srila Prabhupada wants us to see in this verse. Now, Shukracharya's advice is self-serving. It's not really honest. However, we should take the essence, right? We should be saragrahis. Find the essence. And here we see, well, if you don't take care of your body, it's just going to dry up. Just like if a tree gets uprooted or any plant gets uprooted, what happens? It doesn't get nourishment and it dries up and dies. Just as we see in this prose passage from somewhere in the Vedas, that if you leave the plant uprooted, it's not going to produce the flowers and fruits it's meant to. So if we don't take care of our bodies, we won't be able to do the service we're meant to. And that's what we're really meant for. That's what our lives are really meant for. I was thinking of a couple of things when I got up this morning. One was, I've seen a couple of things on Facebook the last couple of days. They say, whoever they are, that how you end your year or how you begin your year, depending on who posted it, is an indication of how the coming year will be spent. And I was thinking, oh, how auspicious. Yugala Kishore called me at 7:30 last night to inform me that I was giving class today. So I thought, oh, that's cool. I'm going to end the old year in kirtan, in the Association of Devotees, and to start the new year in kirtan, chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. How nice. But the other thing I was thinking, this kind of New Year's thing, is one of my favorite quotations from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that I remember from probably 70 or 71 when I was a brahmachari. Srila Saraswati Thakur says that we should begin every year, every month, every week, every day, every hour, every moment, by progressively remembering the personality of Godhead. And my favorite part of that quotation was progressively. At every moment, throughout each week, month, year, we should remember Krishna. We should become more fixed in remembering Krishna than we were the moment, the day, the week, the month before. And that's what our lives are meant for. For remembering Krishna and sharing Krishna with others. Working together to somehow or other engage in some kirtan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I was just hearing some Jiva Dharma yesterday when I was painting our place. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was describing, had his character Raghunath Das Babaji describing the nine processes of devotional service. And when he discussed kirtan, he had a very broad, very inclusive definition of kirtan that includes, you know, reading the scriptures, chanting bhajans, telling people about Krishna, so many things. And that's actually what our lives are meant for. This is the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So our business is to find ways together to increase kirti means glories. So we want to increase the broadcasting of Krishna's glories throughout the universe. There was an old Back to Godhead article by our godbrother Achyutananda, maybe 71 or so. It was actually sort of a record of a talk that he had with Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Sripad Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. He's talking about the descent, the title of the article was The Descent of the Holy Name. And Sridhar Maharaj was talking about how whenever an army conquers some land, one of the first things they want to do is to take over all the different communication media so they can start broadcasting their own propaganda. So we have the same idea. So we see so many efforts for broadcasting Krishna's glories everywhere. When we were in Hawaii, my wife and I were encouraged by one of our god sisters, Kandita, an artist, to become community television producers. And we learned how to put together television programs for the, cable access network. So, you know, out there in the middle of the ocean, on the big island of Hawaii, there probably still are, there's at least Kandita, and perhaps one or two other devotees, and my wife and I were among them a couple of years ago, maybe 15 or 20 or 150 or 200 people watch these shows. But we would get these shows on, you know, with Srila Prabhupada chanting, the devotees chanting, Bhagavad Gita discussions, so many different things. And then we have, you know, devotees are finding so many ways to use the internet to broadcast Krishna's glories. So this is our purpose. So we actually have to understand our own situation and behave accordingly. Said this verse a couple times from the 11th canto. Krishna tells Uddhava, "Sve svedhikariya nishta." I can't remember it. But we have the point is that we need to understand our own position. Real piety, Krishna tells Uddhava, real piety means to understand your own position and behave accordingly. So if you're somebody, and there are some people who can get by quite well on four and a half hours sleep, cool. That gives you opportunity, more opportunity for chanting, for studying, for writing, for making plans. But if you need a little more sleep, if you need six and a half hours, I know I do best somewhere between 6.5 and 7 hours sleep, if I can ever get it. Prabhupada would sometimes say older people need less sleep than younger people. The truth is, older people can't sleep as much as young people, much of the time. Many of us can't anyway. But so if you need a little more sleep, then you have to arrange your day so that you get that sleep. You don't stay up late watching talk show comedian guys or whatever. You go to bed at a decent hour so you can get up early enough to take care of your sadhana. If I were Pushkar, the plug would be, get here for Mangalarti, for crying out loud. But some people's day doesn't allow the time for actually, you know, driving to and from the temple. And so you figure out a way to have a nice strong sadhana in the morning so that the rest of your day is auspicious. Whatever it is you have to do. And if you're able to go out on Sankirtan all day, that's wonderful. And if there are other things you have to do. And the thing is, if you have a family to maintain, that means part of your business, part of your adhikar, is to do whatever work is necessary to maintain them. And what does it mean to maintain them? Whatever a family needs to get by. You need a little room with a roof over your head. You need a certain amount of food, certain quality of food, in order to maintain health. And you also need to work in, those of us who are getting close to 30, we understand this. You need to work in a little time each day for some exercise. And every once in a while, you just need to kick back. Put your feet up on the porch rail, lean back in the rocking chair, and just kind of think about things. The Jews had this idea built into their religion. They had to keep the Sabbath holy. Take a day off and spend it with the Lord. Take a day off from your running around, working in the fields, and all the frantic stuff that you do to maintain yourself, and take a day just to remember the Lord. Let me see the same thing. I haven't been to Vrindavan for a long time, but I remember that when I used to go to Vrindavan, I don't know how it is now, all the little stalls in Moy Bazaar are probably 24/7 now, I don't know. Full service with ATMs and everything, I don't know. But back in the day when I was actually young, go to Vrindavan, and on Ekadashi, most of the shops were closed. Everybody was, engaged in just in chanting or going out on Sankirtan, going out on Parikram. So that's, that's kind of built into our program as well. So whatever it takes for us to maintain decent health, and not more than that, right? Too much sleep, too much work, too much food, too much stuff. Well, we see, Vamanadeva showed us what happens with that. You never have too much stuff. If you seek more than you need, what happens? You become attached. That's not a good thing either. So we need to take, as Ishvapanishad says, our share, right? We need to accept our share. See it in connection with the Lord. Use it in His service to the extent that we're able. And not take more. What was it Gandhi said? There's enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. So you can kind of take that as a guideline. So verse again. Tadyata vriksha unmula sushyatyudvarate chirat evam nasnanrita sadya atma sushena samshayaha. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. Any quick comments or questions? This is a great turnout for New Year's Day. Dinasharna Prabhu?
Yeah, just a quick question. I was hearing in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita yesterday, Srila Prabhupada was saying in one purport that nothing should be done for sense gratification, everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. And elsewhere, somewhere in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada. And Lord Krishna speaks about how the yogi who is, to the extent that the yogi is actually engaged in the spiritual service of Krishna, becomes self-satisfied, becomes satisfied within, and naturally has no need for recreation. And I believe also somewhere in there, Srila Prabhupada writes that there's no question of recreation for a devotee, because I assume a pure devotee, because you're fully satisfied in the service of the Lord. Nonetheless, we're hearing today, and you're bringing out the verse where Lord Krishna says that moderate recreation. So could you square that a little bit?
Sure. Prabhupada took a walk every day. He had two heart attacks on his way from India to New York City. And then he had a stroke later. He was 67. And after that, took a walk every day. Many of us have been on those walks. You can see pictures of those walks everywhere. Walking everywhere. You know, walking in London. Walking in New York. Walking in Texas. Walking in Denver. Walking in San Francisco. Los Angeles. Honolulu. He took a walk every day. It was a serious thing for him. He did it to maintain his health. But also, you need to understand where you are. Raghunath Das Goswami lived on that handful of buttermilk every day. And buttermilk, by buttermilk, they're not talking about that cultured stuff you get at the supermarket. Nice, thick cultured, like a little bit of kefir or something. They're talking about what's left after you make butter. Whey. But Srila Prabhupada also told us, if living like that interferes with your service, if going without sleep, going without eating interferes with your service, you may not do it. You may not do it. So you have to understand where you are. So if you throw yourself in, we see a lot of us are still around. Our bodies are a little creakier than you might, than maybe a lot of, that's probably not true. In some ways, we might be in better shape because of our clean lifestyle over the last 45 years. but compared to some of the people we maybe went to high school with, we might be a little creakier because of the neglect and abuse that we gave our bodies and our zeal. And Srila Prabhupada appreciated that zeal and encouraged it. But at the same time, we had people burning out right and left. I don't have any sense of how many devotees, like even the 3 years that I was in the Honolulu Temple, 1970, 71, 72, into 73, I don't have a sense of how many people came through that temple. And we're there for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and then we never saw them again. So the thing is, you're in it for the long haul. This isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, so you have to pace yourself right. If you can run a 26 5-minute miles in a row, cool, go for it. But if every once in a while you have to stop to walk in order to get to the finish line, then that's the smart thing to do. Otherwise, you're not going to make it to the finish line. You're going to end up under a space blanket in an ambulance on your way to the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, devotees swimming, just taking a break to do some. When we hear recreation, we may think of playing ping pong.
I see thumbs here and there, thumbs up.
Stuff like that. And it was interesting, I was browsing the internet, I was trying to get acquainted with some of the lifestyles of monks and nuns and other orders of life. And it's a regular thing within those orders that some of them, they spend almost all day and night praying, chanting the Jesus prayer or whatever. But they take regular breaks for a half an hour, they play ball, they play a little basketball. They do something different just to refresh their being.
Yeah, if you keep the body healthy, you do what you can to keep it healthy. You don't overindulge. It's not like you want to work out 4 hours a day like movie stars do, so they have those ripped bodies or something. But you take a little time to take care of the body, just like with your car. You can just run the car all the time, but you have to stop it every once in a while. Even race cars, right? They have pit stops. changed.
Not just body, but the mind too.
Mind too. The mind too. Sleep is for the most, more for the brain than the rest of the body.